This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works. Little Bill Withers for you. Bill Withers passed away on Friday from the coronavirus. He was 85 years old, and what a melancholy, beautiful song that was, too. Lean on Me. But it just goes to show you, this is touching everybody. It's touching everybody in the world. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Along with Big Ed Davis, I am Paul Molloy. We thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, April the 6th, the week that may go down in our lifetime's infamy, if you believe the Surgeon General. We're going to talk further about that. Speaking about talking, we're going to be chatting in a few minutes with Samuel Roberts of the Kansas Justice Institute. The state's going to be tracking its citizens with GPS to make sure that they are social distancing. Would you believe that? So we're going to talk about whether that's constitutional or not to do that. Stay tuned for it. And this may be, as we just said, the worst week, both coming and going, for this epidemic. We're going to talk about looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll do it with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, up there in Rochester, New York. So stay tuned for that. And are the Democrats so Machiavellian that they would use this pandemic to cheat in the November elections? Do you believe they would? We're going to discuss that rumor. And in our ultimate top 10, the greatest all-time stand-up comedians. I want to see if Ed can come up with the winner on this one, because he follows these people. We'll see. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's Andrew's. You got to visit his shop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 or Main Street, Dunedin. On Overcash Drive. And also, please, please, please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. You can hear our shows anytime you want. Big Ed has all our shows on podcast, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Good news, Ed. The stock market is well over 1,000 points right now. Now, I wouldn't have thought that, but I think the thought that there might be, especially in New York and in Spain and even in Italy now, an idea that we have gotten to the top of the mountain and we are now sliding down the other side. Whether or not that is true, the market is based on fear and hope.
And rumors.
And rumors. Absolutely right. But did you hear the Surgeon General talk about the Pearl Harbor moment?
I don't know if I agree with that. That phrase I don't think needs to be used. This is going to be our 9/11 or,
First of all, nobody was around to know what the Pearl Harbor moment was.
Right.
None of us. So,
and that was an attack by a foreign,
Yeah, you can't compare it.
This is just...
Now, but I know what he meant. He meant that it caught us like a punch in the gut. Well, but we're expecting this one.
In some spots, I think, sad to say, New Yorkers, I don't think they took it serious. And now we're finding out that New Orleans is the same way. And you got to remember New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina. They did not adhere to the warnings. They thought it was hurricane time to party, you know, and they got caught.
The Mardi Gras.
And they didn't shut that down.
Exactly. The Mardi Gras, people decided they were going to take that risk.
Yeah.
I guess the Mardi Gras was pretty busy, and now look at what's happening.
I saw live cams of the Mardi Gras. It was, as usual, wall-to-wall people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the it won't happen to me scenario.
And then, you know, these spots in New Orleans are very poor. I'm not sure that they practice social distancing. They, you know.
You know, we're going to talk about that social distancing aspect, but you were good enough to play Bill Withers' Stand By Me, and he was from New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how close it hits home.
I mean, he was, I believe he was fighting pneumonia or something like that to begin with.
Right. So his system was already fragile.
He was well into his 80s, yeah. And,
yeah. So that's possible. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of England.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he's hospitalized now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
Listen, some of these people touch, you don't know who you're shaking hands with, you know?
And you should not be shaking hands.
Of course, our politicians are all hunkered down with their money.
They say that.
Not part with any of it.
They say that Donald Trump is a bit of a germaphobe to begin with. He claims he does not like to shake hands anyway. So, you know what? I think he's probably, because of his habits, he's probably not going to get
there. It's going to be a while before people shake hands anyway, to tell you that.
It's a whole new world. Anyway, the stock market, and I'll tell you when I see it up there again.
It's a little over 1,000.
Yeah, that's good news. I really mean that. Because I'm worried as much about the economy. I must say, I'm worried as almost as much. That's not fair. I'm very worried about people's lives. I'm very worried about the economy, too.
This is going to be a difficult week. This is where we're going to hit a lot of peaks. You know, New York is going to peak probably. Florida could probably peak about the end of the week.
Do you think it will?
And people are going to start saying, "Oh, well, more people are dying. We're hunkering down, and people are dying." Well, these are the people that caught it 2 weeks ago.
Actually, you know? Florida is doing pretty doggone well, as is Texas right now. And these are two southern states that have large populations, but they don't have the central. Like New York City kind of thing, right?
Mm.
Our most populated city is Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Well,
because it also includes another area up there, so it's kind of...
But I mean, in the city limits, Jacksonville,
yeah.
Florida, is the largest city in Florida. But we have, knock on wood, we haven't experienced probably our peak, right, here in Florida.
Right.
We still have to wait for that. Well, let's do this. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with a guy who is in the Kansas Justice Institute about the monitoring of the citizens of Kansas with GPS to make sure that they are social distancing.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. We thank you very much for joining us. Hope you're hunkered down safely wherever you are. We're delighted to have Samuel McRoberts. He is General Counsel and Litigation Director for the Kansas Justice Institute. We're going to talk with Sam about the state of Kansas saying that they are going to track their citizens with a GPS device to make sure they are social distancing. Wow. Sam, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is really, I was thinking about this on the way to the station. How in the heck are you going to do anything to, if people are not 6 or 7 feet apart, what are you going to do with your social distancing GPS? You're going to swoop down with some sort of a, I don't know what, give them a ticket? How's this going to work?
Well, that's why it was so interesting when we saw the headline that said, Kansas says it's using residents' cell phone location data to fight pandemic. It raises a whole host of questions, and you're exactly right. Are there going to be citations issued? Are people going to get arrested? What's the governor going to do? What are the county health officers going to do? So that's why we immediately got involved when we saw that report.
Sure. I'm sure they're not going to arrest anybody. This would be impossible. Can you imagine trying to use some sort of a measuring tape or something? You know, this is crazy. You want people to do their social distancing. You can certainly, the governor should certainly be talking about it, the news media there, et cetera. But is Kansas the first state to really do this or just acknowledge that they're doing it?
Yeah, so I suspect other states are doing it. Kansas appears to have been the first state to publicly acknowledge it. And when we heard that Kansas was using this GPS program, we sent basically a strongly worded letter demanding information from the governor and basically saying who has access to this data, for what purpose, when did it start, and when's it going to end. And to her credit, she responded the very next day and said, we're not using any personal information. What we're doing is we're going to a website on Unicast and basically looking at social distancing grades. Mm-hmm. But the same thing that you were thinking about, what are they going to do with this information, is what we started thinking about as well.
Yeah.
So what's happening on this Unicast website is Unicast is telling the government, oh, well, County X gets a D- for their social distancing, and County Y gets an A+. So that really does raise the question, what's the governor going to do with that information?
Well, even I don't know why we're even talking about this. This is so crazy, but they couldn't monitor every single person in a county and then come up with a grade. I mean, this is so crazy. But okay. So it's a good idea to talk about it. We want to do it. You would think the governor and the people, at the top would go, you know what? Let's not talk about this GPS thing. It's just going to get people's tongues wagging, which it is doing.
It is doing. Right after we got involved, we got a lot of people who were concerned about it, and rightly so. And then there was a quote from the Department of Health secretary saying, "Well, we were essentially," and I'm paraphrasing here, "we were surprised that there were so many people who were upset about it," which to me is surprising. It's one of these things like, hey, you guys, you got to start thinking about this stuff
right. Before
you start talking about it.
Right. I want to tell you, I've got one of those, what do you want to call it, homeowner newsletter online things. I don't know if you guys have them over there. But it basically takes a group of people and, when somebody wants to, hey, I need a good plumber, or where's a good restaurant that makes great Mexican, that kind of thing, you know. So you get the, it's a newsletter online, right? So this lady gets on and she talks about her neighbor was sitting with two other people and she didn't think that they were at least 6 to 7 feet apart. The people on the newsletter tore into that person and say, what are you talking about? You know, the poor little old lady next door. I don't know. This is where it goes, you know. I guess we got to see the humor in some of this. But
I had a suggestion for Sam.
Yes.
Sam, whoever's coming up with this doohickey, have them throw a couple of magnets in there. And then when they get closer than 10 feet, it reverses polarity and they each get an electrical shock.
Now, that's actually, now that I think about it, that's not a bad idea. Do you remember the old gag about you put the little thing on your hand and you go to shake somebody's hand and it buzzes? Could we somehow figure something out like that? Yeah, like a little, it's like those fences for dogs on the property, right? If you get anywhere close to somebody else,
if you get close enough to the other unit, it gives you a shock.
You get shocked. Well, it might work. I don't know. See, this is where we go, Sam, when we're talking about tracking somebody.
Right. Absolutely.
Sorry for all of our laughter on it. It's probably an important subject. So,
but you got to laugh about it a little bit.
Yeah. So, have they actually started doing this in Kansas?
So, Kansas is looking at this website, and they're looking at the social distancing grades. And the governor, again, I'm paraphrasing, said, well, we're going to continue looking at these grading systems to figure out how we're going to implement other policies if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kansas, of all the states, which is smack dab in the middle of our country, is probably not suffering like, obviously it's not suffering like New York, but do you know, are they doing, you know, relatively speaking, are things okay? Is everything up to date in Kansas City, that kind of thing?
Yes, so they're in Kansas City, in the metropolitan area, people are suffering, from COVID. In other areas, in the rural counties, so far they haven't been quite as impacted, primarily just because people aren't as close to one another, just naturally speaking.
Right. Now,
but that's part of this problem with the social distancing grading, is that this company is saying all of these towns and counties in western Kansas are getting low grades. But what they're not taking into account is if you're living in western Kansas, it takes you a longer distance to get to the store, for example. So according to this program, then you're getting a bad grade because you have to drive, 50 miles to get groceries. So then that really raises another question of, well, does this program even work? Does it make sense to be relying?
Yeah, the answer is it's not working correctly, like you said. If they're measuring people's distancing and you got to go, 6 miles rather than a mile and a half, my goodness, that's crazy.
Right, right.
Now, and I don't remember the governor's name there, but it is a...
Governor Kelly.
Governor Kelly's Republican, correct?
No, she's a Democrat.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So Governor Kelly's talking about all of this. I wonder, has she been getting in the news media there any kind of criticism or pat on the back for this GPS idea?
So she's been doing a pretty circumspect job throughout the whole pandemic. And then once we started asking questions about it, I think the media then started asking her even more questions. And I think the media was a little bit cautious as well. They didn't want to jump up and down right away, but they also had questions about what was actually being accessed and who could access it.
Yes. Well, so in general, this is going to be a tough week for all of us. And if you listen to the Surgeon General, he's talking about our Pearl Harbor moment. But some of the states are not reaching that moment yet. And I suspect Kansas is one of them. Does it seem like people, from what you can see in Kansas, does it seem like that they are looking for something bad down the pike a little bit, or Or is there any sense that way that people are thinking that the worst is yet to come there?
Yeah, I think people are concerned about it, and mostly because in some counties where you don't have as many hospitals than like the cities, they're concerned that there aren't enough beds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hearing obviously stories about what's going on in New York City and other places, and people are starting to think, well, it's going to get here sooner rather than later.
Right.
And people are scared and they're paying attention. And because they're scared, I think that's also, they're also scared about losing their liberties during the pandemic. Right. And so they're focused on that, and they're focused on also making sure that they're not going to get sick.
Right. We're talking with Samuel Roberts. He is general counsel and litigation director for the Kansas Justice Institute. We're talking about the monitoring of Kansas citizens using GPS, tracking them for social distancing. Now, Sam, this is obviously running right up against constitutional rights and freedom. And yet, I guess in a pandemic, and none of us have gone through something like this before, but in a pandemic, certain rights can be waived. And the government can indeed, you know, declare things. And when people are dropping in the streets, which this is not, you know, literally what's happening, but when you have this kind of a thing, certain rights can't be abrogated. Now, there's a fine line here. There's a fine line. And so I guess the question is, first of all, how much responsibility does the governor of a state have as opposed to, say, the president overseeing everything? That's one level. Then the other level is, how much right does a private citizen have as he goes about doing things?
So, yeah, these are the these are the most important questions to be asked. And that's why Kansas Justice Institute exists, because we're here keeping a watchful eye on what the governor does, what these county health officers are doing. So in short, the governor has broad executive powers during a pandemic. She's allowed to do certain things, but she's not allowed to suspend the Constitution. She does not have a blank check of power or authority. She cannot suspend the Constitution. So there are certain things that she can do and probably should do, but certainly cannot just tear up the Constitution and throw it out the window. And Kansas Justice Institute exists to make sure that the government doesn't have a blank check, even during a pandemic.
Right.
So we're here making sure that people are still allowed to do certain things during the pandemic, and making sure that the Constitution is in place now and after the pandemic.
Right. Now, there is, in the Bill of Rights, the right to assemble, as you know, the right to assemble. However, we are told that we cannot, as an example, have, in many cases, and not just in Kansas, this is all the states or most of them, certain numbers of people. You know, you can't have more than 20 here or 50 here or whatever it is, right? Now, that actually goes against your right to assemble to some extent and your freedom of speech. So I guess my question, which is, you know, a theoretical one at this point, does this violate the Constitution when we are told about this kind of a thing?
So, of course, you're going to get a lawyer answer on this one.
I know.
The details matter. The details matter. Because take this example, for example. Let's say a governor says you can't go to church on Easter Sunday, but you could go to a movie theater. Well, that raises extreme constitutional implications, because how could you say you can go to a movie theater but not church, for example? So these things are important, and that's why we're going through each of the county health orders. That's why we're going through, or at least most of them, and that's why we're going through the governor's orders to make sure that what they're doing is narrowly tailored. So that's really the phrase. Is it narrowly tailored? Yes, you can put some limitations on the right to assemble, but you can't be so broad as to allow for one movie theaters, but not the other church services.
So you'd have to have a broad brush approach here, right? You can't assemble for anything. And if you allow assembly for some things, all of a sudden you're starting to, there's cracks in that logic, right?
Yeah, so the exceptions matter.
Yes.
The exceptions matter, and the general order matters as well. And that's why we're taking a look at all of these things.
How about, like, you have a right to go to the grocery store to get food, but you don't have a right to go to the barber shop because we're going to shut those down?
Yeah, so that's why under that executive power authority, it probably makes sense, or does make sense, to allow people to go to the grocery store, and it probably makes sense to then prohibit the barber shop. But again, part of these things, what you need to take into account is, when do these orders end? You can't just have a governor saying you can go to the grocery store but not the barber indefinitely.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, you've got to be able to say it ends, and now we're back to a more robust freedom of movement.
Right. Well, Sam, it's been a pleasure talking with you. You've given us some very, very interesting things to contemplate. I appreciate it very much. I hope you will stay safe, and maybe down the road, we will talk again.
Yeah, that would be great. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Samuel McRoberts from the Kansas Justice Institute. Wow. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, is going to be talking with us, and we're going to talk about how things in New York are doing, and are we looking at the light at the end of the tunnel?
Bullshooting son of a gun. Yeah, he's big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday. Delighted to have our eye in the northern sky with us, Angelo Ceresi. And Angelo, President Trump did a little tweeting, as he is wont to do many times this morning. And he says that there is a, quote, light at the end of the tunnel, unquote, following a series of grim warnings about this week's expected death toll from the coronavirus. He said over the weekend that this will probably be our toughest week. So in New York, in the state of New York, we have been listening to your Governor Comey warning that this is going to be a tough week. First of all, how are you doing? And second of all, do you think this is the kind of the apex for New York State this week?
Morning. I hope everybody's doing safe and well down in Florida, but we're doing pretty good up here. We're quarantining ourselves. We're staying in.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess, you know, it's supposed to peak this week, supposedly, you know. I guess
that's what they're saying, right?
9/11 moment.
Yeah.
And, in fact, remember I was telling you my friend's mom last week was in the hospital with that COVID-19. Well, she passed away yesterday.
Oh.
From the...
I'm sorry.
From the coronavirus. And
who was she again?
She was a good friend of mine. A real good friend of mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
His mother passed away. She was 97. Okay. She apparently didn't have, apparently anything really wrong with her, Just she came down with this Corona-19 virus and just never made it.
At the age of 97, that's kind of understandable, isn't it? Because our systems at that age are much weaker. And so anything like that. But that's very, very sad news. We were playing Bill Withers' music. Remember Bill Withers? Did you know he died?
Yes, he did.
From the coronavirus, apparently, although he had other issues as well. But we're starting to see, people that we know. The British Prime Minister is hospitalized.
Yes, he is.
With the coronavirus. So this is really starting to hit home. And for some of us, more so than others. What do you think about the way both your governor and President Trump are handling this? Now, President Trump tends to be more, I kind of think he's more Pollyannish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Than maybe Governor Cuomo. But Governor Cuomo tends to, have the good with the bad kind of thing. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure he's doing some politicking at the same time. The reason why they're so behind or they don't have enough equipment or anything to handle this is because they never prepared themselves. They spent millions of dollars on this one project we had up here in Rochester, New York, called Photonics.
What's it called?
Photonics.
Photonic.
I have no idea what it had to do. It had to do with new green energy, I think.
Okay.
That never even materialized. Millions and millions of dollars. And then he invested millions of dollars into some light bulb type of thing with this, the new energy-saving light bulbs and stuff like that. And
yes.
They just wasted money.
So a lot of money that went into the barrel on projects.
That's correct. And they should have been preparing themselves for something like this. After 9/11, New York State, especially New York City, is a target. I mean, they knew something like this might happen someday. Maybe it never would have happened, and maybe it would have. And we know now that it did happen, and they never were prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're handling it the best way that they can, because they were both caught off guard. The president, too. I think the president is doing a great job considering, at the helm. I feel safe with him at the helm right now. I don't think anybody could handle the pressures. Joe Biden or any of the Democratic candidates could have handled the pandemic like this president has.
Yes. Joe Biden was on one of the talk shows. I think it was the ABC This Week program. He said he's going to wear a mask in public from now on.
The president is?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
The wannabe president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, the wannabe president.
He's going to wear a mask in public. As opposed to President Trump, who said, quite frankly, I'm not comfortable wearing one. Do you feel?
Right.
How do you think people are reacting to Trump kind of saying, he kind of emphasized this is voluntary, wearing a mask.
Yes.
You can do it if you want, but you don't have to, that kind of way of doing things. So what do you think?
Well, I think if you're going to go outside and you're going to go in public, you wear the mask.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at home, you don't have to wear the mask.
Right. But you would wear a mask if you went out.
If I went out, I would be wearing a mask.
Okay.
I have a couple of them. My wife made some of them, And my daughter picked us up a couple. If I were to go out, I would wear the mask, absolutely.
Well, one thing is indeed access. But your wife made them?
Yeah, they've shown on TV how to make them. She made them out of toweling paper.
Out of what?
She crafted them pretty good,
Out of what?
Out of toweling paper. Not even, they're telling you to make them out of cloth, but I guess you can make them out of toweling paper also.
Toweling paper?
Mm-hmm. Paper towels.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty good. What does she attach them with?
With a rubber band. You're supposed to use a a stapler, but the stapler we have couldn't go through because it's pretty thick. But
oh,
she
yeah.
Taped them with Scotch tape, and it
wow.
came out.
Now, when she goes shopping, will she be wearing those?
Actually, we have not done the shopping. Our kids have done the shopping for us.
Okay.
They'll leave the groceries and everything in the garage. And
are they going to wear them?
Yeah, I'm sure they're wearing them out there now, yeah. Oh. My daughter's wearing them. And, of course, my son, he has to, you know, he's considered a first responder. He works for Child Protective Services.
Oh, yes.
For the county. So he's in fact, he's at work today. There's six people on his team. And they were...
So they could be called out to a situation somewhere. And,
yes.
of course, they then they're in jeopardy, aren't they, a little bit?
Well, actually... Probably about 3 weeks ago, maybe 3.5 weeks ago, he had to go to a facility where these 17-year-old kids, actually, they're criminal-type kids, right, in these facilities. He had to travel down to the middle of the state, and I guess in the facility, one of the facility staffers tested positive for the Corona-19 virus, and they notified my son. And he had to quarantine himself for 2 weeks.
Because he had come in contact with him. Wow.
I mean, he didn't come in contact. He was in the facility where the person tested positive.
I see what you mean. Even though he was not real close to him.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, his kind of job is kind of, to worry about his job, you know, with him.
We're talking, I'm sorry, Angelo, I just want to let everybody know I'm talking with Angelo Ceresi. He is the brother, by the way, of Andrew Ceresi. Who is our sponsor here with his great barbershop. And Angelo is up in Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York is closer to Canada than New York City, correct, Angelo?
That's right. We're right up on the border there.
Yeah.
The lake separates us and Canada, the Great Lake, Lake Ontario.
Lake Ontario. So you're way up there, and you're staying at home. You're kind of hunkering down there, but
hunkering down, yeah.
Right.
I haven't really gone out because I have some health issues, you know.
Sure.
So you have to
watch yourself. Do you have a sense when you hear Donald Trump talk about the light at the end of the tunnel, and you see what's going on? Like right now, we're just south of about 10,000 U.S. citizens dead from the coronavirus. I mean, that's really a scary number. There are over a million people worldwide that have caught the virus that we know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there in New York in particular, which has got almost 50% of the deaths in our country.
Right, New York.
40-something percent of the deaths. But it's because of New York City. That's what it's all about, right? When you get outside of the metro area there, your numbers are no worse than anywhere else, right?
Well, we got 300, almost 400 people here in Rochester that have that's been tested with the coronavirus.
How many people live in the Rochester metro area, about?
I think we got over 100,000.
Okay.
Over 100,000.
And you've got about 300 plus that are testing positive?
Well, we have 300, I guess, almost 400 people.
Testing positive.
Out of 100,000,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, right.
And we've had, this is just in Rochester, New York, Monroe County. Now, we've had 19 deaths out of the 340-something people that have passed, 19 people have passed away in 300-something, close to 400 that have the coronavirus. I was reading about that this morning.
The 19 people you're talking about, where are they?
They're in the Rochester metro area.
So you've had 19 people in the Rochester area pass away?
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's fairly significant, isn't it?
Well, sure. I mean, they've had it from like 1 to 10 years old. They've got it broken down, 1 to 10, 10 to 20. You know, so many people in those age brackets, and 10 people from 90 to 99.
Well, that's the age right there, yeah. And your friend, acquaintance, was in her 90s.
In her 90s.
Yeah.
His mother was 97
wow.
years old.
Wow. Wow.
And I know the president, I think I was reading this morning where Joe Biden was saying that they relieved the captain from the aircraft carrier was almost criminal.
Yes. Well, of course, we haven't talked much about that, but the he warned, publicly warned, of the virus on the ship, and apparently the Navy didn't take kindly to his making it public.
Well, you know, there's the chain of command. I mean, I was in the military. You have to follow the chain of command. But I guess he let the sailors go on shore leave in Vietnam, knowing that all this stuff was going on. Why, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy too, isn't it? If they might be carriers at that point, or they could pick it up.
I think he let them out in the Philippines or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. I don't know if it was Vietnam or the Philippines, but he let them go ashore. And then, you know, I mean, he should have known better than that, you know. And then you follow the chain of command. You don't do what he did.
Yeah. Now you're a war vet from the Vietnam War. So what you're saying is, although the media is kind of playing it like he's a hero.
Right, they're playing out to be
a hero.
But he should
have just made sure everybody was informed correctly. But it sounded like he was worried that they weren't going to take appropriate action.
I know. I guess so. And then I guess all the sailors were praising him and everything.
They seemed to be, they seemed to like the guy.
But you know, I don't know how true it is, but remember, what's his name there? General Patton says, geez, I don't want them to love me. I want them to fight.
Exactly. You know, Angela?
I don't know. I think the media is playing that up pretty big.
Right.
You know, which, you know, they should know better not to do that.
Right.
You know that there's a chain of command and all that stuff.
That's a good point. Angelo, it's a pleasure to talk with you every Monday, and I'm hoping next Monday we're going to say things are looking so much better, not only for New York, but for our country and the world. Thank you so much.
I hope so. I don't know if this thing's going to go through the summer or not. You know, that, who knows? I mean, baseball's been postponed. Everything is getting postponed, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's a completely different world.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you, Angelo, and we'll talk hopefully again on Monday of next week.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, and you all stay safe down there.
And the same to you.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Our eye in the northern sky. Angelo Ceresi, we are going to take our break. When we come back, are the Democrats so Machiavellian that they're using this pandemic to plan to cheat in the November election? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
We are back on Freedom Works for the final portion of our show. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the great Tantalk Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So stay with us. Ed, did you notice that there is something missing from my normal things when I come in. Now, you may not notice this, but I do not have a Tampa Bay Times newspaper sitting here.
That rag?
Yeah. Did you know that they are not publishing it?
Yeah.
They have decided to publish the Tampa Bay Times only on Wednesdays and Sundays until further notice.
Well, I'll tell you something else I don't know if people have noticed, but their online newspaper, usually every story or whatever had a comment section where you could comment. Because you know that they're completely leftist, and then they would put some crap out there, and then people would kind of right their ship a little bit, like, no, you kind of fudge the numbers. Well, because of the, quote, the lack of extra help, they're not allowing comments on any of their articles, and they're just going rampant. I mean, the one today, there was one in there today of polls show that Mayor Jane Castor in Tampa has a 78% approval rating over DeSantis and President Trump and could possibly hurt their political career.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How could they make that stretch?
Oh, I don't
That's
know.
That's crazy.
Well, they take the comments. And then you go, and then in between they have the stories. They have a little banner ad, like, you know, buy a stove here, whatever. This one I love. Thank Oprah's. Click here to thank President Obama for helping to fight getting Trump reelected in 2020.
Wow, how political can you get?
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Just, I mean, there's just so many articles here. Grim realities for coronavirus crisis test Trump's presidency and legacy.
Exactly. The politics do not leave. You would think that we would set them aside to some extent, but that is not the case. And in fact, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are talking about an all-male election for president. Now, think about that. If we decided not to have any voting booths, then we just sent out. Now, we do that in Florida. And I've always wondered, quite frankly, is my vote really being counted fairly with this when I'm, you know, now, I'm thinking it is. I'm thinking that everybody that's handling this are doing the right thing. But you can see how doing something completely by mail can have, there's an opportunity to mess around with.
That's why I always go and do it myself.
Yeah. And I wonder if we, by getting away from, you know, even before the virus, by getting away from sending people to actually vote, you have to get up, you have to get dressed, you have to get in your car or whatever, and you have to go down there. But yet, that's, if you make the effort, you're rewarded with being able to vote.
Once every 4 years, come on.
I know. So now they're talking, and this is, by the way, an article in on Fox News online. Ronna McDaniel was talking about it, and she thinks that the Democrats are plotting to take advantage of the virus.
Oh, they will. What, are you kidding me?
You know.
And already started.
Now, here is James Clyburn. He is a Democrat from South Carolina. And he said this. The virus is, quote, a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Now, doesn't that sound a little conspiratorial right there? That scares me that people would even say that. To fit our vision. What? Come on, man. You know, fortunately, we've got until November. We got about 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
8 months. And we're hoping that by then, God willing, we're going to be past all of this. We'll all be back on the street, driving our cars, walking down the street elbow to elbow, getting into the bars and restaurants and all the good things of life. We have to look forward to that. But right now, just the thought that Democrats or even Republicans would use this to take advantage is almost, it just curdles my blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at Governor Cuomo. He's on TV how many times?
Every day.
Yeah.
For hours.
And you know what happened? He begged for the naval ship to come out there, the hospital ship. And while he's on TV telling about people the things that are going on in his basement with his family, the hospital is sending the wrong patients to the ship. They're not supposed to send the coronavirus patients to the ship. And they did.
It's amazing that they let them on the ship, too. I'm just trying to think. There had to be some sort of thing. But if they're coronavirus patients, how the heck did they get them onto the
Didn't
ship?
Somebody say, whoa, whoa.
That almost sounds...
Whoa, who are you taking my way?
It sounds like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
It really does.
But he's too busy on TV.
Wow. Wow. All right. It is time to get completely away from this virus subject, Ed. Get over there to the drums because we have a good one. And I think you'll like this one. These are the top 10 greatest stand-up comedians of all time. Ed, do you like... Do you watch a lot of stand-up comedy?
I like some and some I don't like.
You may be able to help me with some of these people that made the top 10, okay?
Yep.
So here we go, number 10. Well, everybody knows Eddie Murphy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's awfully funny. When I saw him on Saturday Night Live, I honestly would laugh out loud. He was so funny in certain ways. Okay, number 9. Guess who made it as a stand-up comedian on this list? Johnny Carson. Now, I wouldn't have technically called him a stand-up comedian.
Well, he would do a monologue.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
And he was very quick-witted.
And most of them were stand-up comics before they got that job.
And he was also a magician.
Like Jay Leno. He was a stand-up comic.
Yeah, did you know Johnny Carson was a magician?
Yeah.
And did all kinds of other things, too. Okay. Number 8. Well, this guy was definitely a stand-up comic all over the place. Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find him funny?
I don't think I've ever seen one of his stand-ups.
You haven't?
No.
But you remember he would wear a white suit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would do balloon tricks and stuff like that.
I'd never really watched it. But.
Okay. Number 7. Dave Chappelle.
No, he's funny.
He is funny. He is funny, just naturally funny,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6. You remember Joan Rivers?
Yeah.
Speaking about Johnny Carson, they got into a horrible feud.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I heard about that.
And he banned her from the show. She used to be so popular on the show.
She used to co-host for him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to do her own show.
Yeah, a little greedy.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's the way people are out there. I think Johnny Carson overreacted.
I wasn't a fan of hers.
You didn't think she was funny?
Can we talk? No.
I thought she was funny. Isn't that funny how people's... Really. How one person finds a guy hilarious and the other person can't stand. Okay. Anyway, number 5. Louis C.K. Now, what do you think about Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K. I don't know who that is.
He's a black stand-up comedian, and that's about all I know. Okay. To be honest, I've
that
never heard of
it
him.
Down.
All right. Number 4. You won't remember this guy. I don't remember him, really, but Lenny Bruce...
I've heard of him.
Lenny Bruce was a Jewish comedian who became an activist during the hippie period.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Number 3. Chris Rock.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like him?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
He's kind of a likable guy from what I remember of him. Okay. Number 3 is pretty good for him. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm sorry. That's my fault. That's my fault. Number 2, do it again. The hippy-dippy weatherman. Who's that?
Hippy-dippy weatherman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
George Carlin. You remember George Carlin?
Yeah.
I thought him funny. Very cynical about life.
Mm.
Cynical but funny. All right, here we go. Who do you think was the number 1?
I'm going to go with Richard Pryor.
Well, roll the drum. Did you look?
No.
You're right.
Oh.
You're right. It's Richard Pryor.
Why are you so surprised?
I don't know. I am surprised. I'm impressed. Richard Pryor, who, by the way, was
phenomenal,
hilarious and funny.
And some of his movies were great.
Oh, and he was funny in the movies. No kidding. With Gene Wilder, he did several. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR.